It leads us to our next case, which is number 21-1732, Auris Health, Inc. v. Intuitive Surgical. Okay, Mr. Morris.
May it please the Court. The Board's motivation to combine analysis in this case is legally and procedurally flawed, and I'd like to focus on two particular errors with regard to the Board's determination. First, the Board's use of general skepticism towards robotic industry, an entire field, was legal error. And second, the Board erred by failing to address an important aspect of the case, rendering the decision arbitrary and capricious. Turning first to the Board's treatment of skepticism.
Well, if one assumes that that was a mistake, is it harmless error?
No. There's no way in which to pull apart the Board's determination. The Board viewed everything in this case through the prism of this generalized skepticism, and came to the conclusion that in light of that, the disadvantages and other aspects of the combination would add too much complexity, but it was only because, as it said, there was generalized skepticism.
Well, that's what I mean. Can we focus on that a bit? Because I certainly get your point about reliance on general industry skepticism as arguably being problematic. But the Board did a little more than that, right? I mean, it looked at, is it Dr. Choset?
I believe so.
And they had another factor in that. It didn't seem to be just industry skepticism. It seemed to be this lack of precision in surgery, which seems to me a pretty important thing, like precision in surgery. And that was the problem with the combination of these two elements. Am I mixing this up with another case?
The Board had a discussion of that. But all of that stemmed to the idea that there would be a missing or no remaining degree of input of freedom. Right? There was a way in which you have to combine this, and there was no way that you could do that in their view, because Smith already used all the inputs necessary.
But it's a substantial evidence review.
It is.
On these matters. And if you look at the analysis on Appendix 22 and most particularly 23 and 24, I mean, they do talk about, they don't explain that much about it, but they talk about, and what's hardest for me is this, not the skepticism about precision in surgery, but they say that the petitioner did not sufficiently articulate how one would have combined Smith and Ferret. They don't really explain a lot of detail about how the how is missing, but the how is a legally sufficient basis for finding lack of motivation, right?
Well, not necessarily. If there's a reason why you would put those two together,
okay.
There's a reason to combine the thing. There's not like an added how you necessarily do it. There are complications, and the Board said there were complications, but all of that was viewed through, and this is at Appendix 25, where the Board summarizes its determination. It says that it would not, or a skilled artisan wouldn't be motivated to complicate Smith's systems, not that it couldn't be done or that you wouldn't actually achieve the goal of putting the two together, but you wouldn't complicate Smith's systems when there's general skepticism in the industry towards robotic surgery. So I don't think you can pull the decision apart.
You're right about that, but if you look at what the discussion on 24, it seems to be somewhat detailed, citing to Dr. Choset, about the difficulty on the how piece of it. I mean, they kind of combine this how thing with the precision in surgery, which I'd like you to address too, because if it would be problematic, I mean, your argument is, well, it decreases the number of assistants, so that's enough of a motivation. But if it's on the other side of that is it substantially interferes with precision in surgery, that seems to be a pretty big deal.
Dr. Chosen's view is that you would have to add additional joints, and in that process you get slop. And what we pointed to below, and the board noted this at the bottom of Appendix 24, is that there were other ways, other inputs you could do, foot switches, finger switches, other things that would allow you to do it. And Faraz indicated that you could put motors on all sorts of joints. So our point was
why didn't you have an expert? I find that very puzzling. I mean, this is maybe not the world's most complex technology, but normally petitioner has an expert on things like this. Why didn't you have an expert?
We had an expert. We had an expert with our petition.
These things. I mean,
at the time, we believed that the references themselves spoke for themselves, and that the work we had done with the expert previously laid the groundwork for why it was obvious to do so. But the bigger point here is
that Dr. Chilsett's testimony was unrebutted. I mean, the evidence that he put on, you did not rebut.
Not with an expert. We did rebut it in our reply when we said.
And we're looking at substantial evidence here.
Correct.
Well, do you concede then what the board says? You concede. He says addition of joints would add a degree of complexity that would interfere with the precision of surgery. Is your position, yeah, but who cares because that's not enough to say there's lack of motivation? Or are you saying that this is just the board's findings, as Judge Rayner referred to, on what we review as substantial evidence, were just incorrect?
Well, our view is there were alternative ways in which to make the combination work, that aside. And the fact that there was that didn't disqualify it from all surgery, and it didn't specify exactly how much of the precision would be lost.
So is it your position that even you didn't need an expert, because even if you accept Dr. Chosett as everything he said was true and correct, it's not enough to satisfy the legal requirements of lack of motivation? I'm just trying to understand what your position is.
Yeah, our position is we put forward evidence that there were alternative ways, aside from what Dr. Chosett said, to accomplish the combination of the two. One additional point is that it wasn't necessary to say exactly how the two would work together because we're talking about the concepts.
But did you dispute the fact that it would compromise the degree of precision and just say, yeah, but it had other advantages? Or do you concede that there would have been a problem raised with respect to the degree of precision in surgery?
No, our point was that there were alternative inputs. So all of that discussion stemmed.
Please explain that, because I don't understand what you're saying. Alternative inputs.
So
alternative ways of
Dr. Chosett's position was, and this is at page 23 to 24 of the board's decision, is that there were no remaining. So all of the inputs for Smith were taken up because it's essentially replicating the arms. Right, so there wasn't another way in which you could, because everything that's being done with the arms is being done with the effectors. There wasn't another way in which to control the robotic arms on the stand itself. What we pointed to is that's not necessarily true. There's a foot switch and there were finger switches that you could implement. We pointed to Wong. We pointed to what was already there in Smith itself. There are other ways in which you could control those. And that's what we pointed to.
But don't you think, I mean, going back to Judge Jike's point about you're not having an expert, this seems like the kind of stuff that if you had an expert testimony to rebut Dr. Chosett, maybe things would have been different. But you're giving us attorney argument about these technical matters, trying to rebut an expert's testimony about how well this would work or how this would work. Don't you appreciate that that's a problem for you?
I mean, the court generally can look to, or tribunal and arguments, to the evidence itself and what they disclose, right? The primary art references themselves disclose much of this information. And so, yes, it was argument in the sense that we were putting it forward without an expert, but it's still evidence that rebuts the points made.
You're not suggesting that we engage in fact-finding here.
No. Our view is the board's error with regard to this general view of skepticism and how it's employed infected the entire thing and is the prism through which it viewed. So at a bare minimum, it should go back, be vacated for that purpose for the board to apply the correct standard, because it's impossible to pull the board's decision apart in a way that would just alleviate the particular error that it had here. And then there, on top of that, there's the additional error that even to the extent that this generalized skepticism is okay to consider, the board ignored an important aspect of the problem, which was the Wong reference.
And you need to explain that to me because I'm frankly pretty confused about that. I mean, that wasn't presented as one of your references for combination for obviousness.
No, it wasn't.
This was just an add-on, and you cited it in three places, as I recall looking back, including the background. What was the board supposed to do with that that it did not do?
So it's critical to take a look at pages 559 and 560 of the appendix, because at that point, we were rebutting directly this notion that there was generalized skepticism in the area of robotic surgery. And taking that on, we said combining robotic arms with surgical instruments was known. We then specifically pointed to Wong and described Wong, which was a reference that came out 1 year prior to...
I'm looking at, you said 559 to...
559 to 560.
Okay, I can't really find Wong here. I'm just giving my...
So on the top of page 560, appendix 560.
Okay.
We call out Wong. And we note the fact that its priority date was 1 year prior to the skepticism in 1997,
okay,
that it dealt with robotic arms, etc. We also talked about some other evidence, but at the bottom of that page, in our reply, we're attacking the particular evidence of skepticism. We say that this evidence showed that the nature of robotics as a field, where practitioners successfully modify and adapt robotics using known components and concepts. So Wong was a part of showing that to combat skepticism, we were showing that practitioners in this field generally were doing exactly what we're saying a skilled artisan would do here, which is putting them together. So it rebutted the notion that
this
general...
Okay, so I guess what's puzzling to me is you're making this a separate, freestanding, standalone issue with Wong, given your citation to it. I mean, we don't require that the board respond to every detailed sentence or reference that the petitioner makes in his submissions. It seems to me maybe your argument about Wong just goes to your more, is it Wang or Wong?
Wong.
Wong. Goes to your more general issue that you raised a few minutes ago, which is the board was just wrong to rely on this general skepticism. Because it was too broad a reliance, and two, because we had rebuttal evidence to do it. So it seems to me, at best, this argument about Wong maybe goes to your more global argument about motivation to combine and industry skepticism being too broad a brush.
Well, I think it definitely supports that, but I do think it's for purposes of the Administrative Procedure Act, the board is required to address an important aspect of the case. To the extent skepticism is an important aspect of the case, it should have responded to the notion that practitioners were doing exactly what we said they, what the skepticism said they wouldn't do.
You should have relied on Wong as a prior art, not on the skepticism issue, but on the notion that using robotic arms was common.
We did point to Wong in that response, and we also pointed to Wong
it's
in
not
the
part of the combination.
It's not part of the combination, no. But we did point to it in rebutting the notion that you couldn't do this with foot switches. I mean, it supported the idea that there were alternative paths to get the inputs into the combination that we were proposing.
I'm not recalling right now, but are there any cases, any of our precedent that's on point that would embrace the theory you're pointing out here on an APA violation because there was some reference cited for some proposition and the board's failure to deal with that is an APA violation?
State Farm is from the Supreme Court saying that the court
in general,
but the principle remains and is bedrock with administrative law that the board, the agency, is required to address an important aspect of the problem. And there was how to deal with seatbelts, but here we had an argument that said
did
that
you
rebutted
see pre-hearing on this. I know you're not, your answer is you're not required to, but
right.
Typically if the board, one would assume that if the board really just drops, I mean, doesn't say anything about anything, rehearing is the way to cure the possibility that the board just forgot about it or didn't notice it.
It's one way, and your Honor is correct that we're not required to take that path. We did not. I see I'm getting close to my time.
All right, we'll give you 2 minutes for a moment.
Thank you.
Mr. Saitman?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This is a substantial evidence case. And here, as we...
Wait, not just. I mean, there's this question of whether it's appropriate to rely on general skepticism as opposed to the skepticism about the particular combination. And if that's an error, it's a legal error. So why isn't it a legal error?
Yes, Your Honor. So the Board didn't find general skepticism undermine any motivation in this space. The Board was specific that skepticism...
Do you agree that general skepticism is not an appropriate consideration?
I disagree. I believe it's an appropriate consideration.
What case says that?
Well, I would think that any number of this Court's cases say you have to consider the knowledge of one of ordinary skill in the art. I'm not saying it's dispositive by any means, just that it must be considered.
Considering the general knowledge of someone skilled in the art hardly answers the specific question we're dealing with here as to whether general skepticism in the art is a relevant consideration or not. Is there any case that says that general skepticism is a relevant consideration?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor, but I don't think you need to go that far in this case. Because here, in the Board's decision in Appendix 22, the Board credits Dr. Chosett's testimony. The Board cites Dr. Chosett at paragraphs 98, 99, and 100. And what Dr. Chosett explained, the context for his analysis was that Smith teaches the servo motor may be clamped to an operating table or other support. So the question became, how would one of ordinary skill in the art have understood what an other support was as of the priority date?
But look at page 22 of the appendix. What the Board says is it starts off, and Dr. Chosett's relying on that, it says he attests that at the time of the invention, there was great skepticism with respect to robotic surgery. That's a pretty global, general statement, right? And then there's a bunch of and then they say we credit Dr. Chosett's testimony that at the priority date of the invention, there was great skepticism for performing telesurgery. And it goes on to say, I mean, those are very global, broad things. Those are statements that the Board seems to think are important. Indeed, in its final conclusory paragraph, which your friend cited, it talks about when there is skepticism at the time of the invention for using robotic systems during surgery in the first place. All of those seem like very global references to the whole field of robotic surgery, not to the details here. So am I missing something or what?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that's essential that the Board credited Dr. Chosett's testimony and then look at how he set up this testimony in his declaration.
But what do you make of the statements I just read you? Should we ignore them, or do you agree that they by themselves would be problematic? But if you dress them up with the rest of the details of Dr. Chosett, we can cabin them, or what? What's your response?
So I will agree that the Board didn't make all of the same didn't include all the same logical steps that Dr. Chosett included in his declaration, but the Board provided no indication it was...
But that's not the question. The question is that the Board's opinion appears to rely heavily on general skepticism. The question is, let's assume they were wrong about that. Can we still sustain the Board's decision because they talked about these other things, or are the other things, precision, whatever, so entwined with their conclusions about general skepticism that we have to send it back for a redo?
No, I certainly think that even if this Court agrees with the appellant on general skepticism, that is harmless error. Because as we explained in our briefing, there are three other independent factual findings.
Does it matter if what's the field of endeavor that we're looking at here? I mean, we're talking about surgery here. Let's say we're talking about aviation instruments for an airplane, and there's general skepticism. Well, in those situations, the skepticism could be the basis for harm to the general public. But in other cases, it's not. Does that affect your argument?
I don't think it does, and that these other three factual findings still stand as substantial evidence.
Okay, so why don't you point us to those other three factual findings that you're resting on that?
Sure. So the second full paragraph on Appendix 23, we agree with patent owner that petitioner does not sufficiently articulate how one would have combined Smith and Faraz to achieve the benefit. Then in the very next paragraph, the second finding, patent owner explains, and we agree, the proposed combination would have limited a physician's ability to manipulate Smith's servopulley tray and related components. And then on Appendix 24, the following paragraph, we believe this is a separate...
What about the paragraph on top of 24? The board closes that paragraph by saying, citing Dr. Chosett as saying it added complexity and limited motion. Does adding complexity do it for us here?
I think that this court's decision in Hennypenny, for example, the court...
What case?
Hennypenny, which you cite in our briefs, the court found that there may be trade-offs, and in that case, it was increased complexity and decreased efficiency, and the board found that was sufficient to... There was not a motivation to combine the references. But here, I don't think this court needs to limit itself to complexity, because in the very next paragraph is the precision issue, which precision is different than the input issue we talked about earlier.
But when I read Dr. Chosen's declaration, I'm looking, for example, at 3751, it seems to me it kind of dances around. Instead of saying that the combination of Smith and Faraz would create these precision problems and it couldn't work for surgery, he makes general statements that seem to be sort of deliberately crafted not to address the specific combination and the consequences of what you would get with the specific combination.
So if I understand you correctly, I believe that his testimony does directly address both Faraz and Smith. I mean,
well, yeah, it does, but the conclusions, for example, in 110 and 111, seem to be sort of dancing around the specific combination, making general statements. If the physician cannot know precisely where the instruments are located. And he says that, but he doesn't say, in Smith and Faraz, if combined, the physician would not know. I mean, we all know experts sometimes give testimony which is very generalized as a way of avoiding specific problems with the thing that is at issue. And this looks a little bit like that, as though it's deliberately general and not specific to the Smith-Faraz combination.
Well, here, it was undisputed that Smith itself has robotic arms with as many as 7 joints, and that Faraz would be a robotic stand with multiple joints. And to the general, there wasn't enough in the record to make an absolute statement. And so what he was explaining was, when you combine these two systems, one with as many as 7 joints to another system that's at least multiple joints, that becomes problematic in this space because each additional joint adds slop and it makes it more and more difficult with precision.
Yeah, more difficult, problematic, but it doesn't say you couldn't achieve the necessary precision for surgery using this combination, right?
Correct. To the point on harmless error, even if this court does agree that the board relied on general skepticism and it disagrees on the precision point, we still have these two other independent findings that can constitute substantial evidence in support of the board's decision. That is this issue of a failure to explain how the references would have been combined to achieve the alleged benefit. That's separate and apart from any skepticism and any issue related to precision. And then on the very next paragraph, the issue of patent owner explains, and we agree, the proposed combination wouldn't have necessarily allowed one of ordinary skill in the art to achieve that alleged benefit because there'd be limited motion at the
Can
end
I
of
the process. Can I ask you about the first point you raised? Because that one paragraph seemed a little lacking to me. I think the one you're referring to on 23, Appendix 23, where they do make the statement that the petitioner did not sufficiently articulate how one would have combined it. But then when I'm looking for, well, you know, what was the problem here, whatever, they conclude by saying, Chosid explained that that alone would, they go back to motivation. It's not, how to me is a different thing than motivation. I mean, if it's impossible or really, really hard or almost impossible to combine stuff, that's the how question. It's not the why or would question, it's the how question. It seemed to me different in the analytical framework, and it seems to me the board's kind of squishes them into one here. So you want to explain to me what you think, what the board was saying here?
Sure. So I think in this court's active video decision, the court clarified that how is an important part of the analysis, and part of that is to guard against hindsight. And it's not so simply as all the elements are merely disclosed in the art.
But is there a difference between the how question and the why question? Isn't there a difference?
I believe they are related. I believe that's how this court analyzed it in active video, and the board analyzed it here. They all go into the same inquiry.
So if you don't know how to do it, you wouldn't be motivated to do it? I mean, what is the how? Well, I guess
yes.
I'm just trying to figure out what the how, when they say didn't articulate how one would have combined that, what that means. Did they therefore walk away and say, well, nobody would have any idea how to do this combination, so of course they wouldn't have been motivated. Is that what the board was saying?
I believe so, that it works against the motivation, that, that if the question is, or is contends, that you'd want to reduce the a number, the workload or number of assistants, and that this is a countervailing consideration that the board found. So the issue here is that Smith provides an exoskeleton. If you think of an exoskeleton as a remote control, right? And so the buttons are the shoulder, the elbow, the wrist, finger, the foot, any of these things. And so there's no way to control a multi-joint robotic stand during surgery. That was the issue here. And that worked against, the board found that.
Well, I would take that another step and say that the problem with that is that it is during surgery, and that can lead to endangering the health of the patient.
Agree, Your Honor. And that is why the board has this combination of factors that it puts together, and one of them is precision. And so it's all in the context of surgery. The last point I'll address is the point about Wang. So Oris argues that the board's failure to consider Wang was arbitrary and capricious. The board considered each and every one of Oris's arguments. So here at appendix page 23, the board directly addressed and accepted as true the very point that Wang allegedly addresses. That is that robotic systems and robotic arms were generally known. So for these reasons, we respectfully request this court affirmed the board's final written decision. If there are no further questions, we'll see you the remainder of our time.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Morris, about 2 minutes.
A few brief points, Your Honor. First, it is impossible to pull apart the board's decision, and there are particular reasons why. If you look at appendix 22 to 23, where the board is getting into its discussion, and it says, because of this skepticism towards robotic surgery generally.
Which page are you referring to?
At the bottom of 22, Your Honor. Okay. Because of skepticism, one of ordinary in the art at the time of the invention would not have felt compelled to complicate Smith's system further by including a robotic surgical stand. So then it goes through and it talks about complications, and you can see that on page 24, where they're talking about the loss of precision, and this is at the first full paragraph. It says, Dr. Chosid explains that adding additional joints in order to obtain an additional degree of freedom also adds further complexity. So the board's discussion to that point was about the complexity of the combination and whether or not there'd be motivation to combine. And it's looking at that through the prism of generalized skepticism. And then you see at the final conclusion of the board in the last paragraph on 25, it says, there is no motivation to complicate Smith's system when there is skepticism at the time of the invention for using robotics surgery. So it's not as though the board were making findings in the alternative such that they could point to substantial evidence and say that there was something to support it. All of the analysis is viewed through the prism of whether or not there was generalized skepticism towards robotic surgery. That was error, and it can't be pulled apart in some way, and the board needs to go back and readdress it. With respect, just briefly on the how and the why, KSR said there are a variety of different ways in which.
Let me ask you the same question I asked your friend. Does it matter what the field is that we're dealing with? Does it matter that these are instruments for use in surgery?
There wasn't any particular evidence, and there wasn't anything by Dr. Chosa that said that it went to such a degree that it couldn't necessarily be used for, you know, it was just sort of a broad sweeping sweep.
If the discussion is based around lack of precision, and we're talking about surgery, aren't we talking about the health of patients?
There's no evidence that it would have endangered the health of the patient given the where it's at in there.
Well, he did say, I think you were talking about the torque stuff that the board cited.
Yep.
And that goes to paragraph 111 at page 3751, which I think Judge Dyke earlier was referring to. At the very conclusion of that paragraph 111, talking about this additional torque, he does say, if the physician cannot know precisely where the surgical instrument is located, going to Judge Reyna's point, then mistakes can be made during surgery. That's a pretty serious, significant statement, right?
It is, but it all goes, again, to the board's conclusion that there was complexity in the system and that a skilled artisan wouldn't try to solve the complexity because of the general skepticism in the area.
Well,
and
is it your position that, it could under certain circumstances make it a little more less precise, but there's the benefit of decreasing the number of assistants, so you weigh all of that stuff? Or are you agreeing that in the context of precision, as Judge Reyna points out, it's a pretty big deal in the context?
It could be. Our point was that there were alternative ways in which to solve the complication. So there are alternatives to doing this. The board merely said there were complications, and because of general skepticism, a skilled artisan wouldn't be motivated to complicate. See, I'm over my time. So we'd ask the court to vacate and remand.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.